Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Well, we're going to hippity-hoppity off to a different land, indeed. We'll call it, oh, I don't know, Cambridge. In talking to authors in this program, we regularly hear them credit a book's success to the word of mouth from a terrific independent bookseller. So we try to put time aside each Tuesday to talk to those wonderful word-of-mouth booksellers and find out what they have in their minds to share with us about great, great books. Connie Brooks of Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, is here with some wonderful suggestions. And Connie, good morning, and thank you so much for being here. It's always a delight to see you.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here, too, especially on a beautiful May morning.
It is. Connie and I both have the same trip, and it's a pretty beautiful trip when you get to come down on a day like that.
Yeah, you know, I come down so sporadically every, 6 weeks or so, and in the winter it's cold, and you think, oh, God, Central Ave, and you got to bundle up, and a day like today, it's like, ah, okay.
Yeah, so you can go over hill and dale. It's quite nice. It's all right, so let's look at the list. Okay. Where should we begin?
All right, well, I brought in 8 books, and I'm going to start with 3 novels. And the first one is a book called Astonish Me by Maggie Shipstead. Astonish Me is the story of Joan, a ballerina whose life has been shaped by her relationship with the world-famous dancer Arslan Ruskov, whom she helps defect from the Soviet Union to the United States. A flash of fame and a passionate love affair follow. But Joan knows that, on stage and off, she is destined to remain in the background. She will never possess Arslan, and she will never be a prima ballerina. She will rise no higher than the core, one dancer among many. Ruskov's career takes off, while Joan decides to return to California and marry her childhood sweetheart. As the years pass, Joan settles into her new life in California, teaching dance and watching her son Harry transform into a ballet prodigy himself. But when Harry's success brings him into close contact with Ruskov, secrets will be revealed that shatter the delicate balance Joan has struck between her past and present.
Very, very good stuff. We had Maggie on the show. It's a wonderful story. Astonish Me by Maggie Shipstead.
Next one, a little bit different. This is the new book called Delicious by Ruth Reichel. This is the newest book from Reichel, the famed editor of Gourmet magazine for 10 years. In the story, Billy Breslin has traveled far from her home in California to take a job at Delicious, New York's most iconic food magazine. Away from her family, particularly her older sister Jeannie, Billy feels like a fish out of water until she is welcomed by the magazine's colorful staff and begins to enjoy the city's vibrant food scene. Then, abruptly, Delicious is shut down. But Billy agrees to stay on in the empty office, maintaining the hotline for reader complaints. To Billy's surprise, the lonely job becomes the portal to a miraculous discovery. In a hidden room in the magazine's library, Billy finds a cache of letters written during World War II by Lulu Swan, a plucky 12-year-old, to the legendary chef James Beard. Lulu's letters provide Billy with a richer understanding of history and a feeling of deep connection to the young writer whose courage in the face of hardship inspires Billy to come to terms with her fears, her big sister, and her ability to open her heart to love.
Delicious by Ruth Reichel, a former restaurant critic for the New York Times and a wonderful writer, and I guess was with Gourmet magazine, and
which abruptly
ended.
Just a little backstory there.
Yeah, it has a lot to draw from.
Yes.
On things that are delicious and not quite so delicious. finally, in the novel department, we go to The Snow Queen.
The Snow Queen by Michael Cunningham, of course, the author of The Hours from a few years back. The Snow Queen begins with a vision. It's November 2004, and Barrett Meeks is walking through Central Park when he looks to the sky and beholds a pale, translucent light that seems to regard him in a distinctly godlike way. Barrett doesn't believe in visions or in God, but he can't deny what he's seen. At the same time, in a not-quite-gentrified neighborhood in Brooklyn, Tyler, Barrett's older brother, a struggling musician, is trying and failing to write a wedding song for Beth, his wife-to-be, who is seriously ill. Tyler is determined to write a song that will not merely be a sentimental ballad, but an enduring expression of love. Barrett, haunted by the light, turns unexpectedly to religion. Tyler grows increasingly convinced that only drugs can release his creative powers. Beth tries to face mortality with as much courage as she can summon. Cunningham follows the Meeks brothers as each travels down a different path in his search for transcendence.
It is The Snow Queen by Michael Cunningham, and Just Down has been getting wonderful reviews. Okay. Where to next?
So, leaving fiction for a moment, the next book is a really, really interesting collection of letters. The book is called Letters of Note, an eclectic collection of correspondence deserving of a wider audience. This was compiled by Sean Usher. And Letters of Note began as a popular website dedicated to sharing unusual correspondence. The website paved the way for the book and features letters from individuals as diverse as Ernest Hemingway, Fidel Castro, and Elvis Presley. There are more than 125 letters in the book, and they span subjects both private and public. For example, there's a letter that Elvis Presley sent to President Nixon, written in flight on American Airlines stationery, in which Presley expresses his patriotism and requests to be made a federal agent, just so long as it is kept very private. There is also a letter from a free slave to his former master, in which he kindly and gently turns down a job offer. It's very easy to get sucked into these letters. There are so many different people and stories and historical moments to get caught up in, and each one is just like jumping down the rabbit hole, and you want to learn more and more.
Letters of Note, compiled by Sean Usher. Next.
This is a book, a lovely, lovely book, called The Shelf, From L-E-Q to L-E-S, by Phyllis Rose. Rose embarks on a grand literary experiment to read her way through a random shelf of library books, L-E-Q through L-E-S. And this book appeals to me for a couple of different reasons. I think because I've always dreamed of having enough time to try a similar adventure. The book for me, and for a lot of people also who I've talked to, is very evocative of Francie in A Tree Grows in Brooklyn,
oh, yeah,
who reads every book in her small local branch library. And that experience, therefore, you know, transforms her whole life. And myself, I didn't grow up in the city, but I grew up in a rural New England town. And I believe for a time that the whole world, or at least a good deal of it, could be found in the walls of that small local library. And I thought, you know, if I could read them all, I'd really have a handle on the world. Via her randomly chosen shelf, Rose discovers stories of French-Canadian farmers right next to those about aristocratic Austrians, California detective novels, about a picaresque novel from the 17th century. Rose approaches this experiment with a great sense of adventure and excitement and takes you along as she ponders the many questions raised by the undertaking about the books we choose and carry with us throughout life.
It is The Shell from L-E-Q to L-E-S by Phyllis Rose. That sounds really fun.
Really, really fun.
I mean, being a former page in a library,
yes,
that seems like a fun thing to
serendipitous
explore.
Discovery.
Absolutely. Next.
This is a true story. This is a book called The Ghost Horse, a true story of love, death, and redemption by Joe Layden. And of course, it's horse race season here in the Northeast, and many of us have been captivated by the rags-to-riches story of California Chrome and whether or not he will become the first Triple Crown winner in 36
long time,
years?
Man.
Long, long time. In The Ghost Horse, Joe Layden tells the inspiring true tale of a one-eyed, club-footed thoroughbred racehorse and a journeyman trainer, Tim Snyder, who scraped together every penny he had to purchase the broken and unwanted filly. Snyder helped the horse overcome its deficiencies, eventually naming her in part after his deceased wife, Lisa, the great and only love of his life, a bright and sweet-tempered woman whose gentle demeanor seems eerily reflected in the horse. The trainer was by nature a crusty and combative sort, a racetrack lifer not easily moved by sentiment, and the opposite of his gentle wife Lisa. And yet in those final days back in 2003, when Lisa Snyder lay in bed, her body ravaged by cancer, she reassured her family with a weak smile. "It's okay," she'd say. "I'll see you again. I'm coming back as a horse." Tim Snyder did not then believe in reincarnation, but he acknowledged the undeniable similarities between the horse and his late wife. And so did those who knew the couple well and who could now only marvel at the story of the filly and the down-on-his-luck trainer who apparently had been given a new lease on life. And it's one of those books that just gives me goosebumps.
It is The Ghost Horse, A True Story of Love, Death, and Redemption by Joe Wadden.
And then to kind of finish out the segment, I brought in two young adult novels. I read a lot of young adult, and there is so much good young adult out there, and yeah, I end up pressing them into the hands of adults and say, you have to read these books. So the first one that I want to talk about is a book called Swim That Rock, and it's by John Roche and Jay Primiano. And in a sea of dystopian fiction for teens comes Swim That Rock, a beautiful coming-of-age novel that focuses on a Rhode Island teenager. When his dad goes missing in a fishing boat accident, 14-year-old Jake refuses to think he may have lost his father forever. But suddenly, absolutely nothing remains certain about Jake's future, and now his family's diner may be repossessed by loan sharks. Jake is determined to work hard and earn enough money to ensure his family's security and save the diner. So he sets out to become a clammer with the help of some locals. Swim That Rock captures the struggles of a blue-collar family, the beauty of coastal Rhode Island life, and the dreams of one boy trying to find his way in an uncertain and unfair world.
The name of the book is Swim That Rock by John Roche and Jay Primiano.
And one more young adult, and this one's just really fun, Dorothy Must Die by Danielle Page. What if everything you knew about Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz was wrong? What if Dorothy has returned to Oz to seize power that has gone dangerously to her head? What if you were the other girl from Kansas, recruited to stop Dorothy? This is the story of Amy Gum, a reluctant hero who can trust no one and who must question everything. Her mission is simple. Remove the Tin Man's heart, steal the Scarecrow's brain, take the Lion's courage, and then, only then, Dorothy must die. Mm. You'll never think about the yellow brick road the same way again, I promise.
Okay. You know, it's like making a creepy story creepier.
Even creepier.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Why not?
Dorothy Must Die by Danielle Page. For more information on Bat and Kill Books, go to their website. It's batandkillbooks.com. Better yet, amble to Cambridge and visit them at 15 East Main Street in the Village. They are right there in the center of the Village. They are at the heart of everything that is important in Cambridge. And anything else in the minute we have left? Anything cool coming up?
We have a lot of events coming up in June, all of our usual book clubs and poetry events. June 10th, we have the book launch for Cold Antler Farm by Jenna Wogenrich. And that's the story of her 6-acre homestead and her journey trying to scratch out a living there. And then we have several more readings in the month. We have Daisy Rockwell June 19th with her new book Taste. And local author Michael Green comes June 24th with his book Heaven Comes Later. So it is a whole month of fun. And then we roll into July with Story Hour for the kids and lots more good stuff.
Wonderful stuff. It's all happening at Bat and Kill Books, 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York, batandkillbooks.com. The list is on our site as well, wamc.org/roundtable. Connie, always a delight to have you here.
Always great to be here.
Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.